Welcome back, everybody. It's your host, the D is Silent here, and today is June the 4th or 5th. I don't know what day it is. It's about 8 o'clock in the morning on my way to work here. Just out in, you know, in California, just driving around. In today's episode, we're going to talk about Caliucci's Red Moon and Venus tour that I went to last, not this weekend that just passed, but the one before. I went on the 28th or 29th. I forgot what day it was that she had her concert out there in Vegas at the Cosmopolitan. We're going to talk a little bit about that and a little bit about what I felt about it, what I kind of feel about the whole thing. Let me just start off by saying Caliucci's is phenomenally talented. And like, I want her to blow up, to be so big, to be the face of Latino music. And, you know, because I got on the train, I got on the bandwagon early enough. I wish nothing but success for her in, you know, in all her future endeavors. But she's still small enough right now, whereas Kai can still, I still like, can kind of be greedy about it, that I know her, that I want to, you know, this, when she's in this zone where it's like, right now it was, it still is accessible to see her, and it's not a crazy, idea to go, you know, see her. Like Beyonce is kind of crazy, Taylor Swift is a crazy, I mean, the normal people just can't afford them floor level tickets, like they just can't. But with all that said, you know, Caliucci's, I feel, is like a phenomenal talent, just all around. Like, you know, I've been fanboying hard ever since, you know, I went to the show right there at the Cosmo. Because, I mean, what was, I just been watching and listening and music videos and things of the nature of Caliucci's has morphed into, like, now that I've got my own live experience. And all the talent is there. I mean, the vocals are there. Song selection is there. I mean, Caliucci's brings the hype from the jump. It's just something that, you know, I'm not used to seeing, like, normal concerts anymore. I'm relegated to heavy metal. You know, I don't really, I very rarely venture out. Like, I do go see War at the LA County Fair and stuff. I've been wanting to see Bad Bunny. It's been a while since I've seen, like, but it was just like the people there are just absolute ape shit. No moshing, but you know, it is kind of different seeing a different music genre concert after going to so many heavy metal ones for a minute. And it's just so interesting. It's just, you know, everybody was taking video, even including me. I mean, I was like, well, I don't know when's the next time we're going to see Caliucci's. And even if I am able to the next time that she's around, you know, it's just one of those things. But all in all, I mean, to me, it went down like this. I got those tickets a while ago. I'm a little upset about one aspect of the show. But, I mean, it's whatever. I could live with it. I bought the floor level tickets a long time ago. Like, the first day they came out, I bought floor level, standing room only. That's what I had purchased. I didn't purchase the gallery level. I purchased floor level. And I purposely picked the floor level because I was like, well, I'll just be closer, you know. The seats were in the back, and I figured they were going to be more money. Had I known that it was going to play out the way it did, I would have just gotten a seat ticket. But let's run it back. So a long time ago, back when it was announced, it was early this year, the tour was announced, and I was like, okay, word, let's go do this. That's something I've been wanting to do. I was waiting for an LA date, but you know, Cali just stated that Coachella was the LA date, and I was like, nah, I'm not doing Coachella. Just not. But with all that said, I get the tickets, and then, you know, we get out, and the concert I picked was in Vegas. I was like, okay, I'll drive out to Vegas, We'll stay out there the night. We'll see the concert. We'll come back the next day. We stay at the Excalibur, which is my go-to hotel. And the concert's at the Cosmopolitan. And I think I made an error on my part, because I was like, you know what? The concert opens up at 8. It's time stuff is supposed to happen. And at that moment, I was like, okay, if we show up at like 6, 6:30, we should be in the clear. I should have known better. Seeing as it sold out, and like that whole tour was sold out, like the very next day, I should have known that the crowd was gonna be crazy, and I should have shown up there like at like four or five o'clock and just sat there. That was mistake number one on my part. But when we, you know, when we got to Vegas out that day, we drove out there, we got there, we checked in, rested a little bit. I was like, all right, it's like 5 o'clock, 5:30, let me start getting ready to shower and change up. Well, when my girlfriend was like, she showered, got changed, we left at like 6:15 and we got there like 6:30. There's a little bit of traffic, 6:45. By the time we got up to where the concert was, it was before 7, but the line was fucking crazy long. The Chelsea Theater, the line getting to was like from the Chelsea Theater was all the way into the casino, like just all the way. Like there was just gobs of people, like, and at that time I was like, shit, well, there's no point in even standing in line. We're not gonna get in. That was a mistake on my part. We waited, we walked up. Eventually we do get in. And at that time, I don't think they're allowing no more people on the floor level. And they're like, no, there's too many people. Go up top to the standing room up top. Which was fine. I you know, again, I didn't pick that. And then again, I was just like, well, we didn't show up on time either. We didn't show up early enough. It's just what it is. But then again, you know, just whatever. Like, it's what it is. I, you know, so we get up there and like, I forget who opened up for Caliuchis. But we just kind of sat and watched that. I mean, they played pretty good. I guess people were into her, that person too. I don't remember. It was kind of a forgettable name as well. And I was like, okay, that act is ending. Let's go move up. And it was just packed. And everybody standing, and you couldn't see. I couldn't see for like the first 3 or 4 songs. I couldn't see shit. But after that, people started sitting down, and then I could see and, you know, watch Caliuchis the whole entire time just standing. I was like, okay, this is, you know, it was dope. It was a dope concert. It was a dope setup. I had fun. It was, you know, she played a lot of newer stuff, stuff that I do know, some older stuff that I don't know, but that I kind of sort of know. And it just kind of like, all of it just wrapped up. Like, I was like, okay, you know, if you know Caliuchis, you know what, I mean, you know, you already knew the set list. So I'm just of the impression that I was like, okay, like this is a good set. Like I was like, okay, I'm, played a lot of new stuff off of the new album. Played only 2 songs off of the last album, which was, I was kind of like, oh man. Like, I wanted to hear some more songs off of there, but I got to hear Fue Mejor and Telepatía. I was like, okay. Those were the kind of songs that drew me in the first place. So I was with it there. And then she played like 2 new songs that are not released yet. I think they're releasing later this year. And, you know, I was like, okay, this is cool. Great balance of songs. A lot of them had a lot of energy. Some of them she dropped it down low, you know, got a little bit more, more calm in the set, you know. And the encore song Blue, which is now I've been listening to a little bit more as I've listened to Red Moon and Venus, Just listening to it more and more, I'm like, okay, like, oh, that's a great ending song. As far as I'm concerned, like, it's a great song to end. And then the concert ended, and, you know, we getting out of the Cosmos a little bit hectic, you know. It was a little hectic experience being at the Cosmo at a concert. But it was overall, it was a good concert. And I just wish we had shown up earlier. If I wouldn't, like, again, if I would have known, you know, the things I knew right now, I would have shown up at, like, 5. I would have been, like, the first one in the first 500 people, you know, to get in there. But, you know, it's what it is. And there's a lot of, I don't know, what was the age of everybody there? It definitely is a younger crowd. I think the ratio for girls to guys was probably 4 to 1, easily 4 to 1. And let alone about half of that, of those guys, maybe even more, are gay. So it was quite an experience. Everybody dressed to the nines. You know, just a kind of an experience, you know, not something you do every day. Especially not that I do every day. It was just very different setting than I'm used to. You know, I'm used to more heavy metal crowds. And it's just what it is. Like, the crowd was hype, and they knew every word to every song. And it's like, damn, Kaliushi don't even need to sing. It's kind of crazy. You see the level of fan participation in a concert like that versus heavy metal. Sometimes heavy metal people are stubborn, you know, unless the band is really popular, which this is something that happens sometimes. But I mean, it's just crazy. It's just a crazy experience. The last two concerts I've been to have been in Vegas, and it's just a crazy, you know, a crazy experience. Both times I was like, oh, you know, Sick New World was crazy. And Kaliushi's was just a crazy experience as well. And now I'm looking forward, because I want to run it back. I want a closer view, when, you know, so where at least I can visually see the whole concert. So I'm looking at, like, when is that announcement going to come for an LA tour? Hopefully late this year, you know, early next year. And I'm going to just grab some seat tickets, you know, make sure that I get in and get to where I'm supposed to be, you know. I don't want no repeat of what happened. It just sucked because I didn't see anything in the beginning. But what was absolutely, you know, the song selection was good for me. Everything, now that I'm more comfortable knowing what songs are going to play, I can tee those off to listen to more, you know, as well. So it bounces back. It's crazy because Red Moon of Venus is like, I think it's like 16 or 18 songs long. You just don't know what you're going to play. The last album was like 14 songs. Like, you don't know what they're going to play. And she's got two whole other, I think, an EP and album. And, I mean, you just don't know. There's like a lot of songs. If you have never seen it before, you don't know. You have to listen to every song. And it's a lot of songs. It's a lot of music to listen to and to know the words. Plus, there's singles and her guest features. It's just what it is. It's kind of crazy to, you know, wrap into perspective what you need to listen to. But I think they knew, somehow the fans knew the set list. That's what I was hearing about. The whole tour sold out. So, I mean, I think as a fan, we're waiting for... I mean, I don't know if we're waiting for her to burst on the radio waves. I don't know if that's what we're trying to do here as the Kaliushi fan, but we're just gonna let her fly off in her own direction and do her own thing. And just, you know, because there's a lot of artists like that, like you know, like how to say, for instance, like maybe not Doja Cat, but, you know, LMA. They're artists. They're not on the radio, but they, for whatever reason, draw a crowd. You know, there's just a lot of artists like that. You know, Remy Ma. But I think we want a couple of more hits, so that we'll, you know, we feel special about it. But you know, we want some charts. You know, some charting, top charting hits. Hopefully that does come. You know, but I do feel like she's a superstar in the making. She's already a gigantic rock star, but I think she could be propelled into a stardom. And I think just like two more rock solid top 5 to 10 hits on the radio, and that'll be enough for her to forever and ever. Just music could just pay for anything she wants to do in this world, and just go anywhere, and people are gonna show up. You know, I would kind of hope that, you know, a Pitbull appearance does cap it. Maybe not Pitbull, but you know, some bigger names in the Latin genre. You know, I mean, I don't know what voice. I mean, maybe Bad Bunny. I don't know if he's gonna want to. But on her album, I just kind of don't know. You know, what's the road for her to just break the top? Maybe a Cardi B. You know, I could see her and Cardi B doing something. You know, but she's getting there. And overall, the Cosmopolitan is a crazy hotel. I would like to try to maybe stay there one time. You know, and just check it out. You know, that's what I would like to do. But as we go to Vegas more and more times, it's just, you know, now that the Raiders are there, I'm there. You know, it's just an experience being in Vegas in general. There's so much crazy stuff going on all the time. It's like San Francisco, but all, you know, but in the desert. It's kind of like, you know, like downtown LA, Santa Monica, but again, in the desert. It's just a city. It's a major city. It's crazy. And with that said, I mean, I give the Cali Uchis concert like a 10 out of 10. It just, Molly knock on it. I was like, I wish I'd have shown up early. I wish I didn't get stuck sitting at the top. I wish the people were in the seats, were sitting down so we could see up and over them. But I mean, didn't play out that way. But I had fun overall. Eventually, the people did sit down at about the 4 or 5 song mark. I knew that it was going to happen. I was like, these girls in these high heels are not going to stand the whole time. Eventually, they're going to sit. And that was the case. And eventually, I could see directly, had a beeline sight. The only thing is, I missed the whole beginning. I was only able to hear it. And that's just what it is. But once again, I did have fun. It was one of those things. I was like, okay, this is something I'd like to run back at a little bit better ticket, you know, ticket arrangement. So we'll talk a little bit about, I think I went to go see Spider-Man 2 Across the Spider-Verse yesterday. So maybe we'll come back and talk about that here shortly. You know, and we'll movie review that, and we'll get this episode up and posted. Hang tight. Okay, so round 2. I'm trying this again. Yesterday I recorded like a whole 30 minutes, and then I got to my house. You know, I was on the way home from work. Got to my house, and whatever this is now, it's not Anchor no more, it's Podcasters, decided to update and erase my Across the Spider-Verse review. So let's get into it. Spider-Man Across the Spider-Verse, I give it 2 thumbs up just right off the bat. It's like a 9, maybe 8.75 out of 10. And I know that's in theory a little low for the movie, because a lot of people are claiming to be the best comic book movie maybe ever made, or the best animated film ever made. I would agree with him to a certain extent, you know. But I don't know if it's the greatest anime movie. I mean, it depends on what your definition of greatest ever is. I mean, we could discuss basketball players, you know, Jordan, LeBron, Kobe, Shaq, you know, Magic, so on and so forth. And everybody can make the argument that it's the best movie or the best player ever made. You know, you could take that to so many things, like what is the best, you know, car ever. People are diehard Mustangs. You know, some are diehard, you know, Chevy. You know, it just depends what your preference is. This movie was great. I don't think it, to me, it doesn't qualify as being the best ever made. You know, I don't know if it's, you know, I don't know if they're taking the angle that it's a comic book movie, film, that it's the best comic book movie ever made. Again, I don't know. I mean, it might be up there, but I don't know if it's the greatest. I mean, Endgame to me is right up there with one, like, if that's not one, it's maybe two. That's up there with Infinity War. I mean, it's up there. Like, it's up there, you know, as far as story. I mean, there's so many good things about the Infinity War Endgame movies that, you know, often get overlooked. You know, and just the little nuances that those movies had. And then people make the argument that Christian Bale's The Dark Knight is the best comic movie ever made. So I don't really know. You know, I don't really feel that that's the case either. But I don't really know if Across the Spider-Verse is up there in that rank. Is it the greatest animated film of all time? Like, something animated, something drawn, something done with just pen and paper and computer. I don't know either, because I kind of feel like, for me, one of the best animated movies of all time ever, you know, that goes to, like, you know, the original Toy Story. That goes to, like, I mean, there's so many there as well. You know, The Incredibles part one was so good that they almost didn't make a part two till years later. And The Incredibles 2 was great too. I don't know, The Incredibles is up there too. Just as great, I think, as, you know. And then, I mean, obviously recently Mario is up there too. Like, Mario's, I mean, I love Mario too. It was like a 9 out of 10 too. So I don't know. And then people, you know, I didn't know Frozen was like that big of a movie until people started saying like it was the number one movie for so long, and it just got overtaken by Mario. So I don't know, but I don't know. And I'm not knocking Across Spider-Verse. It is a great movie. It's probably one of the best stories that they've had for Spider-Man or Miles Morales yet. As I yawn here, to me, it's more of this thing like, it might be the best animated superhero movie, but I mean, it's not up against a whole lot. How many other superhero animated movies are there? But I feel like that you could construe that as negatively. I'm not knocking the movie at all. I give it like an either an 8.75 or a 9 out of 10. The only really drawbacks I had to the movie is, after watching the movie for so long, and I think I was consciously aware that they were going to probably make it a 3-part series, but the second one literally does not end. They just stopped the movie. So I was like, oh man. And I think for me personally, I was like, okay, they just kind of ended it. I kind of was, they needed like 2 more minutes of movie just to show the ramifications of what happened at the end of the movie, that he's lost. He's lost on Earth 42. And I think they needed Spot to come out and start terrorizing his world and being the ultimate villain that he's turning out to be. I think they just needed like two more minutes of that to have really shown that, like, well, if they don't go get him, it's a world disaster movie, you know. But overall, I mean, they had so many positives to it. I mean, we got to see Mrs. Chow. They showed the other two Spider-Mans, you know, Andrew Garfield's and Tobey's in there. And we got to see, you know, so many different other variations. Oh, Spider-Man, they're bringing back Spider-Man Noir, which is, I think for the third film, which is Nicolas Cage, which, you know, I didn't know that was Nicolas Cage in the first one, but, you know, Spider-Pig showed up later. Oh, I don't know Spider-Pig, but then they had, you know, the Gundam spiders show up. I mean, they had so many different Spider-Mans in this movie that it was just like, I'm salivating. That's what I was talking about last time. I'm salivating at the chance to see something like this live action. Like, I don't know what's the holdup. Like, I don't know. Like, Sony needs to really sit down and say, okay, this is what the fans want. This is what the fans are dying for. And I know they are making some sort of Spider-Man movie where it's multiple Spider-Man, but it, like, I think there's only like three or four or five of them. I want like 20. How hard is it to give the stuntmans that kind of look like the main characters, give them a role, you know, be it a short one? How hard is it to give Spider-Mans that are completely CGI, that don't take off their mask, that don't want to reveal their identities even to the other Spider-Man? How hard is it to put them in there? How hard is it to get completely random new guys like they did in the Across the Spider-Verse, just like people playing different Spider-Man roles for different little scenes? Like, how hard is it? Is it money? Is it a money thing? They got couple of billion dollar bangers if they bring this, if Sony brings this to the big screen with, you know, and they bring back Andrew Garfield and Tobey Maguire and Tom Holland into the mix even too. Why can't there be more than one Miles Morales? Like, Sony needs to get it together and finally bring about the Spider-Verse that was always intentioned for them, you know, when they first acquired the rights, you know, all them years ago from Marvel. Like, okay, but give us what we want. Don't fail us. I mean, you know, it'll be a monumental failure if they never give it to us and they half-ass it down the road. Monumentally, it will be a crazy. I know they're trying to get the villains established. You know, Venom, I heard Kraven's getting his own movie. They're trying to get the Sinister Six, Madame Web, you know, a lot of people involved. But that's not, you know, something that I particularly I'm worried about. I'm just worried about they're not going to give us, you know, the complete Spider-Verse that we need, that the fans have been asking for. Marvel knows what they're doing too, so I'm assuming, you know, between the two companies, the story is there, all the content is there, the material is there, they can just do it, ask for help if needed, a little direction here and there, and it's done. What to me, you know, looking ahead into the third movie, I need them to drop a live action Miles Morales on screen, not have him get stuck, but have him make a cameo appearance, maybe bump into another Spider-Man in a different realm, maybe bump into an Avenger, and that's all you need to set that movie off. That way Miles Morales is now somebody that can be, you know, canon to everything else. And speaking of canons, that's what the movie Across the Spider-Verse is about. It's, you know, Miles Morales' canon event where his father would ultimately have to die, and he doesn't want that to happen. He's going to try to stop it. and, you know, the continuity, supposedly, from the spider lobby states, and Miguel says that if he doesn't have his canon event, then the Spider-Verse and the web that is shattered, and it breaks apart other multi-dimensional aspects of the Spider-Verse. And that movie, there was so much to that movie. It's hard to talk about in like 20 minutes. Just know that it's a 2 thumbs up. If you like Spider-Man and you like, you know, they had so many great Spider-Man moments in the movie. But yeah, I need to see the Man-Spider come out eventually. I need to see Miles Morales. And eventually down the road, and I'm talking 4, 5, 6 years from now, what we want is when we do, when the MCU finally starts wrapping things up and giving us the last showdown versus Galactus or versus all the Kangs, you know, because I think Kang, the Kang Dynasty establishes, again, what it is, the Kang Dynasty. Secret Wars will be the first part of the third movie, of the third Avengers. I think Secret Wars is going to be them fighting amongst themselves, not knowing, you know, why they're fighting each other, what the Kang's pulling the strings to eliminate some of the heroes, and then ultimately maybe Doctor Strange or somebody rewinding time, but ultimately the Kangs head off against, you know, mutants, the Fantastic Four, the Spider-Verse that is, you know, the X-Men, the Avengers, and it's an army of Kangs. Hopefully still Jonathan Majors, but that's what we want to see. We want to see like 20 Spider-Men. We want to see all the X-Men. We want to see Deadpool. We want to see every single person that they've had on screen in the whole Marvel genre up to this point on the screen, plus some new ones. It would be the hardest fuck having Andrew Garfield, Tobey Maguire, Tom Holland, Madame Web, Miles Morales, and like a couple other variations of, you know, Spider-Man, you know, Gwen Stacy, a couple of Gwen Stacy's, perhaps even, you know, Miguel. Having like a whole like dozen of them, maybe 20 of them on the screen, you know, pulling up with all the X-Men, you know, Gambit, Wolverine, Rogue, Magneto, both Charles Xavier's, both Magneto's if possible. You know, it's Sabretooth, everybody that was in there, you know, the Juggernaut, all of them, you know, Cable, Bishop, I mean, Psylocke, I mean, the list goes on. Mm-hmm. You know, and then having all the Avengers, you know, bring back Tony Stark for one last hoorah. Bring back Romanoff, bring back, you know, young Captain America, bring back all the new Avengers. Have them all stand on the battlefield, you know, bring back all the Guardians and all the Guardians that exist now, the Ravagers. We want to see all the Asgardians, you know, as they start dying off, you know, bring back Hela, bring back, you know, Odin, bring back, you know, Thor's mother, you know, the queen. Get Loki, get Thor on there, get Thor's kid, get Loki's, I'm assuming they're going to give Loki a young figure to, you know, bring back Sylvie, bring back all these characters. And on all the Asgardians, you know, Lady Sif and all everybody, we want to see that whole tribe. We want to see all of Wakanda, including, I don't know if they can bring back Chadwick Boseman's actual character, but bring back Killmonger with Shuri and all the everybody from Wakanda. We want all the Fantastic Four and perhaps teamed up with Doom to stop like some threat. That's what we want. We want it all on screen. We want it eventually. We want it to be a great movie, and we want it to be the best movie ever made for 20 years to come. That's what we want. And that's what Sony needs to do too. They need to realize that, hey, look, Marvel has already started with Endgame and they're only getting bigger. We need to match the same energy. Let's have And I think they are making the movie like that. I'm not 100% certain, but, you know, hopefully it gets done. It needs to get done. But it's 2 thumbs up. It's a 9 out of 10. I don't know if it's the best comic book. I know people are saying it's the best. But, you know, to each their own. I do give it a 2 thumbs up. And the movie's great. I want them, looking ahead to the next movie, like, I need them to beat Spot. Find out if Miguel is truly a villain or not. They kind of play like an anti-hero in the whole movie. I would like Miles Morales to just come out of the comic book universe, the animated, and make a real live appearance just for in like 20 to 30 seconds, maybe bump into another Peter Parker, or maybe bump into Ant-Man, maybe bump into, you know, Captain America, but an old version, and then just be like, hey, you know, watch it, old man, and then, you know, him just smiling, and that's it. Like, that's all they need. That's all it needs, just a little icing on the cake. They do that icing, and the whole world would blow up in the comic book universe. It would just blow up. I mean, this one already did. When he went to go visit Chow, and then they were talking about the other Spider-Man, I was like, yo, they're on the right path. Let's hope that path is still the right path. Hopefully, you know, they continue it. I'm like, let's do it. Do it for everybody's sake, Sony. Come on. Everybody can share off of each other, you know. Marvel will allow you to use Doctor Strange. They can allow you to use a couple other characters, some cameos. Like, bring it. Let it happen. Yeah. It's 2 thumbs up. I also talked a little bit about Fast and Furious and the last time, but maybe I'll come back and talk about that for a couple minutes. You know, and some other things. I'm gonna go see Transformers today, so maybe I'll talk about that and wrap this episode up. Hang tight. Okay, so let's wrap up this episode. Let's talk a little bit of the Fast and Furious X. I gotta say this about the Fast and Furious franchise. I've enjoyed all of them that I've watched. I didn't watch the Fast and Furious 9 in theaters, but I watched it on HBO Max recently. And I went to go see Fast X in theaters. And honestly, the internet is just trolling them with the negative reviews. Well, actually, the negative reviews are warranted. But I know that people, the joke is out there, like, they need to just stop making these movies, and they're just getting ridiculous with it. And in reality, every movie is ridiculous. If you actually pull back the layers to every movie, think about some of the greatest movies that actually exist. Jurassic Park, the OG. You know how ridiculous that movie is? You're like some mad scientist, and I don't even, he was some mad entrepreneur, some billionaire, trillionaire entrepreneur, paid scientist to dig up fossilized amber that contained mosquito bites, that pulled out DNA, created dinosaurs, and he was going to turn it into a theme park. Like, if you sit down and think of that synopsis and then how great the movie is, you're dumbfounded a little bit. They took the most outrageous scenario and turned it into a multi-billion dollar franchise now, which is crazy. And, you know, and the same could be said for most Marvel movies. Or actually, not most, all Marvel movies. You got some billionaire guy who decided to make high-tech gear and turn himself into a superhero. Ridiculous. You got a guy who was frozen in ice for 70 years after defeating a guy who turned himself into a red Hitler. Completely ridiculous. You've got, you know, Thor, the son of Odin, coming from Asgard to save Earth. Ridiculous. And all of them teaming up to stop Thor's brother. I mean, it's just completely ridiculous. Even Terminator's ridiculous. You got future robots coming back to stop, or actually, you know, chase down the leader of the... I mean, Terminator is ridiculous. It's another ridiculous synopsis. But Fast and Furious is right there with its ridiculousness. It's a bunch of guys grew up in the cars and they're out to save the world from seemingly everybody. And they're... they are, you know... all the people that they've hurt along the way, it finally has caught back up to them, to somebody who wants to hurt them back. And only for that reason. I mean, and they're surviving the most crazy, and they're flying in space. I mean, the story is crazy. And they're in Antarctica. Like, what does people racing cars in LA have to do with Antarctica? Like, it's ridiculous. But if you turn your brain off, and I really think most movies, you just have to just, you know, movies are something American, like, is mostly, it's an American thing, you know. We just like exaggerating some crazy stories, like, and I kind of think for pure entertainment, you know, Hollywood doesn't, I know Hollywood does want to tout itself as being some sort of, you know, as well as not only being entertainment, but they also want to have like this more, like, noble notoriety to them, like they're actors and they can act and they tell these stories and they're artistic stories that can be told. And I know that Hollywood wants that level, and they have their Academy Award, or they have their Oscars and their award ceremonies, and you know, and directors really want to tote themselves as being these super artistic, and to a degree it is. You know, but not all movies are that. Some movies are just there just for a good time. I mean, you look at, like, the old movies, Star Wars. Star Wars in itself is a wildly, you know... it was just a wild premise. And I, you know, you gotta kind of tell yourself... when you see this movie, take... just not logic, but just take yourself out of the movie. Just enjoy what is... I mean, not even you have to enjoy it, but just watch and just see what happens. I mean, you just never know. Like, to me, like, the Fast and Furious is one of those movies where I just, like, I go in there. I know that the story is not going to be the greatest. It's not going to be... it's not a tearjerker of a movie. It's not some life-altering... artistic piece. It's just, that movie is solely based off of, this is just to, it's action, it's high intensity, it's just an entertainment movie. It's just something you say, hey, it's something you go to, you know, to the movies with your friends, go to the movie with some buddies, or take a, you know, a date out, and you just want to be, you know, like, entertained, like. And this is what it is, and it's good at that. It's good at that level. The negativity that surrounds the Fast and Furious is not really warranted. Again, I just explained why. And the movie in of itself is good. The only thing I didn't like about the movie is it ended on a sick cliffhanger, and I don't know how they're supposed to make Vin Diesel survive essentially a tsunami and his son. Be interesting to see how he walks away with that without a scratch, nonetheless, because I mean, in reality, he's going to come back to win, right? So that's the premise of most movies. The good's going to defeat the evil eventually, and eventually Vin Diesel's going to win. And be interesting to see how that's going to play out, as well as it was great seeing Jason Statham again. The Rock showed up post-credit scene. Phenomenal. Excited about that. Brie Larson had a phenomenal role in there. Even Aquaman And I know that guy's name is Jason Momoa, but I just forever see him as Aquaman. I keep calling him Aquaman. And Aquaman did a fun, he had fun with the role. You know, there's so many iterations of a villain. Lately, the villains have been this really dark, really sinister roles where, you know, especially in the bigger movies, Avatar, there was not a shred of funny to that character. They tried to change that in Avatar 2, but nonetheless, he was just only had one purpose, one mission, and that was to kill Jake Sully, and that was it. Thanos, really dark. He had no... Everything he was saying was cryptic. And to a degree, that is what makes Thanos that much more, you know, godlike in a sense. You have all the villains in DC. They tried even doing it with, you know, Darkseid showing up. And a couple of other big franchises have had these really doomsday kind of, these rawr kind of villains. And here comes Jason Momoa saying, you know what? We're going to have, and even like the Joker was portrayed that way. It wasn't really, nothing he really said was funny, even though he was trying to make it funny. Nothing was really funny. It was just a dark, a really dark villain. And that has been the trend for a number of years now. And it was good to see a villain just kind of take the lackadaisical role. That, hey, you know what? He's just going by what he's given. And he's having fun with it. And he's going to tear. And it's just a sharp contrast to me. It's a sharp contrast from what the Fast and Furious franchise is. And that's what makes it work. To me, it makes it work because they've given all of that. Like, if you were to put Thanos, you could easily say that that's kind of the same dialogue and the same characteristics that Vin Diesel has. You know what I mean? Like, Vin Diesel, all he says is one-liners, and everything is kind of cryptic, and he's right. He believes he's right. And then, on the other hand, you've got, like, let's say Tony Stark is probably portrayed as Aquaman's villain character, Dante, or whatever his name is in the Fast and Furious movie. That's his role, is to, hey, you know what? We're just going to have a good old, grand old fashioned time with it. And I kind of enjoyed it, because I really didn't care all that much for the movie. You know, to me, it was just an okay movie. But, I mean, his parts were funny. He pulled up on Vin Diesel in Brazil in, like, I think a pink car over the top. He was painting his toenails. He had two dead bodies kicking with him. You know, there was a number of things. And I can't wait till he actually fist fights with some of the family. Like, you know, that guy is a big man. Like, you know, I can't wait till he fist fights with some of these people. And I hope to God they give us a Rock, Vin Diesel, Jason Statham. I want like all seven of them to try to jump him. You know, Ludacris. That's what I want them to essentially jump him. But I want him to. But obviously that fight scene's got to be grand. That's what I'm hoping for, you know. It just something like that. But overall, the Fast and Furious was an okay movie. I mean, it doesn't warrant the hate that it's given. I think some of you guys are just a little too obsessed with the Rotten Tomatoes shit, and are just obsessed with being on the internet and the bad rap movies get. And the movie, I think the last time I checked, was at like 700 million. So take that for what it's worth. I mean, the Vin Diesel is still turning out, and Universal is still turning out billion-dollar franchise movies. Why would they stop? and that's what I don't see. The last like four movies have totaled $2 to $3 billion, especially the one where Paul Walker died, almost like $1.5 billion. That right there tells you that they're not gonna stop making the movies. They're not gonna just hang it up at the trilogy. I don't even think Fast X 2 or Fast 11 is gonna be the end of it either. Until said time, as they invest $200 million in a movie and only see a $20 million return, only then will movies stop and reconsider what they're doing, whether or not to go forward. Marvel's in the same boat. Marvel keeps turning out Thor made $700 million. Ant-Man made $500 million or $600 million or whatever it made. Guardians of the Galaxy is making so much money. And I don't feel that any those three were the strongest ones yet. Thor wasn't the strongest of the Thor films. Although I did kind of feel Ant-Man Part 3 was the strongest one. That one is kind of reversed from the first two, and it being more of an action movie. Guardians of the Galaxy 3 again wasn't as good as Volume 2. They just kind of broke apart the team. But nonetheless, those movies still made $500 million plus. Whatever they made. I don't know how much the Ant-Man Quantumania made, to be honest with you. But I'm going to just say it made $300, $400, $500 million. Thor Love and Thunder did make $700 million plus. Guardians of the Galaxy is going to do what it is. I don't know what the grand total is going to be. But combined, the three movies made easily more than $1 billion. They're going to come back to it later. The same with Thor. Thor's made, I don't know how many millions and millions of billions of dollars. They'll come back to it. Ant-Man has probably crossed $1 billion combined for all three. Again, they'll come back to it. You know, maybe let the actors cool off when they're a little bit bored, and when their other movies are not doing too good, they're going to come back and work. There's a stable machine that is Marvel, and it is Fast and Furious. It is, you know, Transformers. I'm going to go see that tonight. We'll see how they do. That is Spider-Man. That is in, you know, it keeps these actors doing something when 5 years down the road, they just haven't been doing anything, and their other movies have not done so well. And it's very rare that you see an actor have multiple franchises that have popped off. You know, there's very, very rare. And as a matter of fact, it's almost unheard of. I think Harrison Ford, you know, he did Indiana Jones, which is coming out. He's done Star Wars. But outside of that, I mean, it gets slim. Vin Diesel's, he has the Fast and Furious franchise. He's dabbled a little bit of Marvel. And I would love to see Vin Diesel as himself in the Marvel movie at some point. But he's had the Chronicles of Riddick and Riddick franchise. And it just kind of, I heard it didn't do too good. It's not really all there. You know, Hugh Jackman, Wolverine, he's tried, dabbled in other movies. Only The Prestige is really worth watching. You know, Christian Bale, you know, he was the Batman for three movies. He had his own franchise there. And Christian Bale's a phenomenal actor, too. He's had some great solo movies, but, I mean, he hasn't yet had another solid franchise. Keanu Reeves would be a major player in the conversation, because he not only had The Matrix, but then he's had John Wick, and he's had other movies. Speed was, I think, a two-parter movie. I think they were both good. You know, it's just one of those things, like, you know, there's only so many actors that have been successfully pulled that off. I think Chris Pratt is about to, you know, his franchise is about to be the Guardians of the Galaxy and Mario, so it might be wrapped. He might not come back for a while, but some of the other characters will. Some, especially some of the ones that they're just not getting, not keeping the ball moving. The ball stops, and people's lives don't stop. They got bills, they've got charity work, and people houses to live in, things of the nature. So, with all of that said, about to go see Transformers. I give the Fast and Furious X 2 thumbs up. I'd probably give it like 6.5 to 7 out of 10. And that's all strictly pure just the action sequences. Because the story was kind of dull. Everything was kind of forgettable. Aside of them tackling helicopters. And, you know, just everything. It was just like a long action movie. But yeah, like maybe like a 6.5 to 7 out of 10, which isn't bad. It's not great, but it's not bad either. I think people just need to just realize that some of these movies are just action movies, and some of them are just movies to just watch. Just watch. Like, I'm gonna go see Transformers right now in a little bit, and I kind of hope that, you know, just turn off my brain and just blown away by something. I want to see some cool shit. This is what I want to see. Just like Spider-Man beyond the Spider-Verse, we want to see some cool shit. You know, that's what we want to see. We want to see some cool shit. Also, the Expendables trailer 4 came out. Immediately, I'm already going to watch it. The Meg 2, I want to watch that. Oppenheimer's coming up. So maybe the next one, we'll talk a little bit about Transformers and Oppenheimer. Oppenheimer, I want to see just because it looks, you know, Robert Oppenheimer. Over the years, his line, it just keeps coming up. And I hope, that's what I'm, like, hoping for in the movie. Like, his line pops up. You know the line. Now I am become death, the destroyer of worlds. I'm hoping I could have seen that on the big screen. Just, like, with everything that is implied with it from the day it was first, he first said it to now. Like, damn. But anyways, that's it for this episode, guys. I'll catch up with you guys hopefully in a week or so. Laters.